So roll in my grub in my blanket. I left all my tools on the ground. I started one morning to shag it for the country they call Puget Sound.
It's been a transportation system and a source of food that's been a body of water that underpins thousands of years of history and culture in this area. Our resident historian Felix Bunnell is here to tell us about a new book focused on Puget Sound, and today's Hike into History is brought to you by Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Good morning, Felix.
Morning, Dave. Yeah, there's a new book from UW Press called Home Waters, A Human and Natural History of Puget Sound. The author is David Williams, the same guy who a few years ago wrote Too High and Too Steep, a fabulous book about the regrades in Seattle. Now, Puget Sound's about 15,000 years old. It was known in a native language as Wulge. So this is a big topic, and this book, which is one of the best local histories I've read in a long time, comes at the story from several directions. I met up with David Williams on a rocky beach along Puget Sound and Shoreline a few days ago. As we sat there on a log, he described years of research, traveling all over Puget Sound, exploring places like kelp beds, meeting with experts, and learning about incredible species like rockfish, orca, and ancient gooey ducks.
At Richmond Beach, somewhere around here, in the last, that was 10 or 15 years ago, Washington State biologists pulled up a gooey duck clam that was 174 years old, which means it was here, I think from the dating I figured out, it was either here just after or just before the Wilkes expedition in 1841.
Wow. And we've talked about the Wilkes expedition on this program before. That's when the U.S. Navy came through this area, surveying and naming geographic features. So a gooey duck that was alive that long ago is pretty amazing. And what did those Washington State biologists do with that ancient mollusk?
They killed it.
Yeah, what? That's why I never wanted to be a scientist. It's more fun being a historian. You don't have to kill anything. And they didn't know it was ancient until they killed it, because they're the same size whether they're 10 years old or 150 years old. Now, the poor gooey duck that was around when Charles Wilkes was here in 1841, but the history of the name Puget Sound goes back even further, and the notion of the original boundaries of Puget Sound has changed a bit. The idea begins with Captain George Vancouver, first European to explore these waters in May 1792. He sent Lieutenant Peter Puget out to explore the waterway's southern reaches.
Peter comes back to the boat, and Vancouver writes in his journal, "To honor his exertions, I named this part of this area Puget's Sound." And it really was just the south end of the sound, basically south of Seattle, or maybe even south of Tacoma, what become those areas. And Admiralty Inlet was the whole body of water to the north. And basically everything has reversed over time, that Puget Sound has just grown and expanded to take in the entire body of water. And Admiralty Inlet is now just the mouth at between Port Townsend and Whidbey Island.
Yeah, and along with sort of growing an area and becoming the dominant name for not just the water, but for the region, what's unusual about Puget Sound is how late, comparatively speaking, that the Europeans came here, 300 years after Columbus. And even though indigenous history stretches back long before that, European settlement rapidly and radically changed the culture, changed everything here.
This bay that we're in is really the last European explored body of water, saltwater body of water on the lower 48 states, which is really amazing. And yet, it also has this incredibly long history. We've got evidence going back 13,000, 14,000 years of people here. So, yeah, it gets back to how do we balance that? How does that reflect the development of this area? I mean, what it means is that when people come here and start to exploit the landscape, they immediately have markets to go to. You know, we had San Francisco, this incredibly huge market that just was insatiable. So we could ship coal, we could ship wood. I mean, the two primary things, salmon, herring, Olympia oysters, everything. And so that commercial development could almost happen immediately.
Yeah, and that commercial development, along with disease and the treaties in the 1850s that moved indigenous people onto reservations, meant rapid change and decades of environmental degradation that Puget Sound is actually starting to recover from. That was a surprising takeaway from this book. It's a pretty hopeful message. Things are better in Puget Sound than they were decades ago. And so it's alive. It has a living history. And David Williams says there's great ways to connect with that history. One is by hiking up Mount Townsend in Olympic National Forest. Apparently you can see from all the way up to Canada in the north, far down to those old cooling towers down in Satsop, down near south of Olympia.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Now, another great way, of course, is to ride a ferry. David Williams made it his goal to ride every single route. He took all the familiar cross sound ones we all know about, and he rode the smaller county ones, too. And there was one more category of ferry that he knew nothing about.
And then there are the private ferries that go out, these homeowners associations that have ferries to their islands. And the one to Decatur Island, they wouldn't even let me on the boat. All I was trying to do is explain, I'm just trying to ride all the ferries. Like, no, you can't come on it. The one to Hat or Gedney Island, they let me on the boat, but they wouldn't let me off the boat on their island. And then Heron Island down in the South Sound, they let me on the boat and they let me off the boat and they let me back on the boat again too. So I just want to clarify that part.
So you really experienced the gamut of responses. Yeah. And these little private ferries were amazing. Now, I mentioned that he really got into the research, and I confess I didn't know there was such a thing, but he actually spent a day at a gooey duck nursery.
But I got to see little baby gooey ducks. Oh my God, they are the cutest thing, because the big ones, we all know what the big ones look like. They're not terribly, they are terribly phallic looking. But when they're little, they've got a shell that's maybe the size of a pinto bean, and they've got that little neck that sticks out, and the little neck goes wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. They are really cute.
Yeah. And what did they do with that cute little baby gooey duck?
They killed it.
Yeah, of course.
No, they didn't actually kill the baby.
No?
No, they didn't. They're actually raising them commercially to grow them. So anyway, it's a huge topic. David Williams really does a nice job putting into a really readable book. It's called Home Waters. It's out now from UW Press. He's got a bunch of author talks coming up. He gives a great presentation. He's got a virtual one coming up on May 3rd through Seattle Public Library.
Yeah. Now, when did you say Puget Sound was the geology? When was it created?
It's about 15,000 years ago. There's a huge glacier that kind of came down between the Cascades and the Olympics. And as that mineral-rich water was running out and melting away, it kind of gouged out what's now Puget Sound, what's Lake Washington, Lake Sammamish.
So it's only 15,000 years old?
I know. That's not that
long
ago.
That's crazy. That's why things are always sliding and the sounder's always being blocked. Where I come from back east, it's mostly rock, and all the erosion stuff took place a long time ago. But here, it was like we were practically created yesterday.
Yeah, it's very fresh, and there's still hope to make it even better than it was before the Europeans came. So it's a great book. It's a hopeful message and a really great story that gives you so much about the culture and the history here and the natural history as well.